another episode of the Runpreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Sierra Carter. And as always, I'm here to help you run your life instead of letting life run you. How is everybody doing? It is so nice to be back after kind of a semi-break, a little bit of a break. I just took a couple weeks off because there's a whole lot going on and I needed to get other things done and make this podcast a little bit better to bring to you guys. But now we are at episode number 90. It's February 2nd. And our topic today is all about talking about no oxygen. Well, that's a problem. We're going to be talking about high altitude fitness and running and training when you don't live there, but you're there for a short amount of time. So on this break that I took from the podcast, kind of just from life, which was very needed, I went to New Mexico. I spent time in New Mexico. I spent time in Colorado and Breckenridge. And if you know those areas, you know the elevation is like way high. All right. So I'm at 13 feet elevation here in Florida. Over there, it's like 8,400 feet to at least like 9,600 feet. So I spent enough time there where I was running, I was training, and it was hard to breathe. But at the same time, I didn't spend enough time there to fully acclimate. But I did find ways where it helps you, where you don't feel sick, where you feel like you're able to still do things without being fully acclimated, but at the same time, not feeling worn down, sick, or just completely out of breath all of the time. And since I go back and forth regularly, I kind of implement these every time I go out there, every time I'm there, and they seem to help a lot. And I've also gone out there where times where I didn't do any of these things, and I did see a difference. So that's what we're going to be talking about here today on the Runpreneur Podcast. So today's sponsor is Anchor. And if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. It's super simple, how I love it. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Apple, Spotify, and whatever other podcast channel you like to listen to podcasts on. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And you guys, it's pretty much everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So if you're thinking about starting a podcast soon, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. I promise you won't regret it. All right, guys. So before we get started, I do want to introduce kind of a new concept to this podcast. So again, like while I was away, I had a lot of time to think about the podcast, where I want to take it, and what I really want to help everybody with. And not only do I want to help entertain you with fun things and fun content and fun things that help you get moving, but I want to be here to help you. And to help you, it has to be in a short amount of time, right? I don't want to sit here and blabber on like I'm already doing. So all these podcasts, welcome to the first one, are not going to be any longer than 26 minutes and 20 seconds. And if you guys know me and you know the significance of that, yes, that is the distance of a marathon, 26.2 miles. So nothing will be over 26.2 minutes. Now, it might be under. Do not quote me on that. Could be under, but it will not be over. So you guys can go out and run your lives. So you can go out and live your lives with the information and not sit here for hours listening and trying to figure it out. So it's going to be faster, but you're going to get a lot more in. And today is the first day of that podcast. So you guys ready? Now let's get back into the actual topic. All right, guys, so let's go ahead and get into the quote of the day, and I've already said it. Oh, actually, did I say it at the beginning of this podcast? I don't think so. But the quote of the day is, I'm tired, but I've got goals. This one really hit me when I first heard it because, like, well, not only is it pretty relevant in how I felt this past week, past couple weeks, even with the break, but I feel like a lot of people can relate to it because, you know what? We are tired, and I feel like a lot of us have gotten to that point where we're always going to be tired, that it's just not really going to change for us. So we're at that point where I'm tired, I've got goals, but I'm still going to go. And I applaud you guys. If that's you, I applaud you. So keep on going and do not stop. Please don't stop because you guys have completely got this. Going right into one more break. All right, guys. So first, before we get started and even before we get into the quote of the day, I do have something to say. So in that time, in that break that I was gone, I came up with the idea that, you know, to get you guys what you need to get going on with your lives so you can run your lives, I don't need to be taking up a lot of your time. I appreciate the time that you give me during the day, but I don't want to be taking up an hour, 2 hours of all of your time that you have on your busy schedule, on your busy day. So with that being said, I came up with the idea that all my podcasts are going to be 26 minutes and 20 seconds or shorter. You're never going to get a longer podcast than that because that's a good time to get a lot of information into you guys so you can take it, use it, and run your lives. So that's what I'm here to do. Now, maybe shorter than that, but my goal is to keep them under 26 minutes and 20 seconds long. On the weekends, when I do race recaps, they're always going to be 13 minutes and 10 seconds or shorter because I shouldn't be talking about a race longer than 13 minutes unless there's stories to tell. Now, guests might be longer, could be, maybe not. Kind of depends on the conversation there, but everything that I am here solo with will never be longer than 26 minutes and 20 seconds or 13 minutes and 10 seconds. And I can guarantee you that. So with that being said, let's move on with the podcast before I keep blabbering and talking about it. All right, guys, so we are going to talk about the quote of the day. So every podcast, I'm going to have a quote of the day, and today's quote of the day is going to be, I'm tired, but I've got goals. My quote was going to be, the best view comes from the hardest climb, because obviously we're talking about mountains and altitude, but I saw this one on Instagram, and I was like, that's very, very relevant for what I'm talking about. I'm tired, but I've got goals too. Because a lot of us are exhausted, a lot of us are tired, but we still got goals and we're still going at it. So that's your quote of the day is, I'm tired, but I've still got goals. All right, you guys. So now that that music is completely over, we can fully get into today's topic about high altitude training, whether it's running, whether it's swimming, whether it's biking, whether it's like working out, whether it's whatever, you're gonna have a hard time breathing. And to really acclimate, to really get yourself together, we're gonna have to understand what's happening to our body. And pretty much the short, simple answer is your body's not getting enough oxygen. And when your body doesn't get enough oxygen, your muscles don't get enough oxygen or nutrients to repair themselves. And then you can't breathe. And then your muscles fatigue. And then you're just like, what is going on? Ugh. And the key to this is what you'll research and what they'll tell you is over 6 weeks, to acclimate takes over 6 weeks. Your blood starts to thin because the oxygen is thinner at a higher altitude. So your blood, the oxygen in your blood starts to learn, all right, well, I need to be also thinner and not require so much oxygen to do the same amount of work. And that takes about 6 weeks. Some people say 4, 6 weeks to fully acclimate. Now that concept scares a lot of people because they're like, oh my God, I want to do this race, but I live in Florida. I can't do it out in the mountains. Yes, you can, you guys. You might not get your best time, but when people tell you you can't fully acclimate for 6 weeks, don't freak out because there's so many things that we can do to not acclimate you. I'm not going to say I'm going to fully acclimate you in 3 days, but I'm going to help you minimize the effects of high altitude sickness, of high altitude training when you haven't been there. And I'm also going to help you perform your best if you're just going out there for the weekend. So before we get started with the actual tips, let's talk about what is high altitude, what does it affect, and what does training in high altitude do good for us? So high altitude is, in medical terms, anything above, or hold on, in simple terms, if you're talking in the fitness community, it's about 5,000 feet elevation or above. A mile is over 5,000 feet. So if you're a mile above sea level, you're automatically at 5,000 feet. Now, 5,000 feet is where most people actually start having problems and symptoms of altitude sickness. They start having trouble breathing. They start gasping for breath when they go for runs or work out. That's a problem. So 5,000 feet. Now, anything over 8,000 feet in the medical community is actually considered high altitude training or high altitude. So 8,000 feet. Now, for a lot of you that keep up with Olympic runners or Olympic swimmers or anybody in the Olympics or big athletes, they actually train at about 8,000 feet or elevation or above because it's very, very, very extreme. Now, if you're going out to Colorado or Breckenridge or New Mexico, because New Mexico, there's parts where my parents are at 8,400 feet elevation. That's extreme. And that can actually cause some problems for you if you're going out there for a week in the train, because you're going to be hit with that oxygen, that lack of oxygen right away. It's not a lag. It hits you right away and you feel fatigued. It's harder to breathe. You honestly just feel like mellow. I guess that's how I get it. Some people get nosebleeds. Some people get extreme headaches. Some people just like their whole skin dries out. Like I do that too. So these are just things you have to look for. But there are also ways to minimize those problems. So if you're going somewhere that's, 5,000 to 8,000 feet elevation, and I'm going to give you a quick idea. Salt Lake City, I don't think is above 5,000 feet elevation. Now, if you go to the mountains, of course it is, but I don't think Salt Lake itself is, because I also have friends out in Logan, Utah, and she's at about 4,000. Albuquerque, New Mexico is about 5,000. Denver's 5,000. Denver's a mile high. So just different areas to think about the elevation. And of course, Breckenridge, when I looked it up, it was at 9,600 feet elevation. And I think that's at the base of it. Ugh, hold on, water break. Now, for me, and I've realized this, I grew up in high elevation. So for me, I was so used to running up hills and in this high elevation that I thought, well, maybe that's why I'm acclimating faster. But I've actually given these tips to a few people who don't do a high elevation, and they did perfectly fine, right? So I think that these tips are pretty credible in that they at least help when you start doing them before you go out to high elevation. But what does high elevation do to us? So what high elevation does is it increases your heart rate. You'll notice this right away. Even sitting down, your heart rate's going to be a little bit higher. It's going to decrease your VO2 max. So you're that VO2 max where you can't talk, where you feel like you've reached your limit. It's going to come down and you're going to hit it faster. And it's going to increase your risk of dehydration because it's most likely going to be stronger winds when you're out there or lower humidity. And anybody that's been in a place that's, you know, really dry realizes that in low humidity, you dry out really, really, really fast. And the problem with this is you also dehydrate really, really, really fast. And it can also cause high altitude sickness, like I explained before, which is like headaches, fatigue, shortness of breath, and confusion. So sometimes people go out there and they're a little groggy. That's high altitude sickness. But what good does it do for you? Now, why do these athletes go out to these places to train in high altitude? Well, first, it increases your VO2 max. And we all know that with a higher VO2 max, your body's able to handle more. So when you go down, if you train in high altitude, first it's going to decrease your VO2 max because you're not acclimated. You're going to hit it right away. But then over time, as you're training out there, if you're staying there for longer than the weekend, it's going to start to increase your VO2 max because your body's going to be pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing at these levels they've never done before. And you're going to have to be able to reach like way up here, and your body's going to be like, okay, we got to move this bar to come up here so she's not hitting this VO2 max when she's doing like the bare minimum that she used to be able to do. You'll get it back. It's just going to take some time. It's also going to increase the red blood cells, enhancing the body's ability to deliver oxygen. Remember what I said? Your blood, they say your blood starts to like thin out. You have to increase those red blood cells. You need to increase the red blood cells to carry oxygen. Because there's not a lot of oxygen, you're going to need more cells, more army, more soldiers to carry the oxygen to your brain, to your muscles, and throughout your body. Now, it's also going to increase your athletic performance overall, you know, always a good thing. Don't ever like turn that down. Always be pushing to improve. It's going to increase your muscle strength. This is, you know, double-edged sword. Your muscles are going to feel weaker when you're out there, but at the same time, you're also increasing the muscle strength. Fun fact, you're actually lighter when you're farther away from the center of the earth because of the gravitational pull. I'm not too keen on actually explaining how that goes, but you can look it up on Google. I actually lose like 3 to 4 pounds when I go out there without doing anything. And that has something to do with the gravitational pull. You feel lighter out there. And then of course, overall, high altitude training is going to improve your stamina in fitness and performance and everything else in life. Maybe you're even your mental ability to handle things because of course it's going to be different out there. So these are just like a few things that are going to happen when you go out and get into the high altitude. So of course you have to watch for what it does and how it affects you. Well, you know, decreasing your VO2 max, increasing your heart rate, gonna make you hit those levels that you really don't want to hit a lot sooner, and you're not gonna be able to perform as well as you want to. But on the other hand, it's gonna do a lot of good when you're able to stay out there and train. But if you're not able to stay out there and train, what do you do? Well, that's what we're gonna talk about right now. Because if you're not able to stay out there and train, let's say you're going out for a week. I went out for 10 days. I wanted to train, but I didn't. You're going to have to slow things down and you're going to have to maneuver around it. So that's exactly what today's podcast is big on. All right, guys, so if you're going out there and you don't have a lot of time to acclimate and train and fully get ready for it, what do? Well, I've got 3 tips here for you guys. And one of these, this first one, I'm actually going to tell you to do before you head out to a high altitude area. And that's because your body needs time to adjust, to get used to it. And then it needs time to adjust and kind of get used to it once you get there. So I like to do this right away when I land somewhere. And of course, leading up to it. Now it's one of my daily habits. So to me, I guess I'm like, I don't have to think too much. I kind of just get up and go somewhere. And I don't have to plan out too much for this. But if you don't do this and you know you're about to head to Colorado or Montana or somewhere out there with high altitude, maybe start implementing this into your routine. And that is deep breathing exercises. So what I like to do is just 10 big deep breaths. Inhale. And hold. Hold that inhale for about 10 seconds in your head. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And exhale. Do you see how your body's relaxing? So I'm not here to do it for relaxation. I'm actually here to do it for your lungs. So there's some theories out there. Are they credible? Are they true? I'm not sure, but it helps. All right, if you inhale and exhale and fill your lungs with air, your lungs learn to expand a little bit, learn to hold more air. Now, when you're out in the high altitude, you want a way to really increase that air in your lungs because you're not going to have a lot of oxygen as it is. So the more air you can take into your lungs, the more air you're going to be able to disperse to your bodies. Now, if you're somebody that's, when you work out, like just breathing heavy and can't calm down, this is a good exercise for you to start now. And my favorite thing about this is it also works as a relaxation technique. So think about it this way. If you're going out to Colorado, your heart rate is going to be going up. You're going to be expending a lot more energy and you're probably also going to be more hungry. But if your heart rate's going up, if you have issues with anxiety or stress, that's already elevating your heart rate. So maybe you're double the problem now. So doubling your heart rate going up and you're kind of like starting to have like, I don't know, maybe a panic attack, maybe anxiety attack. Talk yourself through some deep breathing techniques. Inhale and exhale, or inhale and hold and exhale your breaths. Do that 10 times and I promise. Not only will you help yourself times and I promise, you're not only going to help yourself expand your lungs, but you're also going to help yourself calm down. So the focus or the key here is to start the deep breathing exercises at least 2 weeks before you go out to somewhere with high altitude. It's going to help your performance a little bit. It's not going to acclimate you completely, but it's also going to reduce the chances of high altitude sickness because your body's able to hold more oxygen and maybe your body's not going to be in such a big deficit where it's like, I'm sick. I need oxygen. What are you doing to me? Don't let your body get to that part. It's not fun and it's not something you should tamper with because it's air. And I'm pretty sure we all know that oxygen is very important in our lives. Now, going on to the second one. Focus on what you're eating and you're drinking. I know, Sierra. This is like on every single list. Oh, if I want to feel better, I gotta focus on what I'm eating and drinking. I know you guys, you've heard it 1,000, maybe 1,000,000, maybe quadrillion times, but you really should be focusing on what you're eating and drinking. If you're eating carbs on top of carbs, on top of everything else, your body is gonna feel more weighed down than it really should, and that really should at altitude. But if you're eating lighter meals, if you're balancing, if you're getting your fruits and your veggies, if you're really taking the time to think, how do I eat healthier where you're going to feel better? Because if you eat bad and you feel bad at, let's say, here in Florida, you're going to feel worse at high altitude because now your body, usually when you eat too much, your body increases your heart rate to, you know, kind of metabolize the food. Now your heart rate again is increasing over here for the high altitude, increasing for the food that you're eating and probably increasing because you're probably stressed out and not feeling good. So now you're going to have this whole spiral down. It happens in high altitudes and it doesn't feel good. Now, if you kind of are like, hey, I eat fine. I don't really have to worry about how I eat because you're in a good habit of eating, you know, pretty great. Then I want you to focus on your drinking and your hydration intake. So if you are going to a higher altitude, like I said before, it's going to be a lot drier. And in the dryness, you don't realize that you're sweating. So when I go out to New Mexico or when I was in Colorado, I didn't sweat. Now, what I did notice was if I wiped my face, I had like salt on my face. And I'm like, there's no beach around here. No, that's like sweat, because your sweat evaporates so quickly into this 10% humidity. It's not staying on your face like it here is in here in Florida, because it has no place to evaporate, because we're already at 98% humidity. It can't get any wetter with my sweat in the air. But in like New Mexico and Colorado in that area, it's really easy to not sweat. And if you don't sweat, a lot of people don't feel like they're as thirsty, or they don't realize how much fluid that they've lost. So to minimize the risk of dehydration and any problems in that way, you should really be watching your intake and how much you're drinking throughout the days leading up to the trip. And also once you get there, set yourself up for success. Get water, get gallons of water, get whatever you need while you're traveling over there so you do not dehydrate. Because once you hit that dehydration like levels, you're just gonna feel awful. And you might also want to think about taking, you know, water or something on a run or on a bike ride, even if you don't regularly. Just to kind of remind yourself, you know, like every like 3 or 4 miles, do you take a sip? Do drink something, because you're not gonna feel good if you don't. Now, this last one, and I've said it kind of before, and a lot of people don't like to hear this. I didn't like to hear it, but it has to happen, and it's to slow it down. When you're at a high altitude, you guys, there's just really, there's nothing you can do but slow it down. Now, a lot of coaches, if I've read it in a lot of books, are like, you know, you want to train at your same intensity. You want to train, you know, like if you have a 20-mile run scheduled for here in Florida and you're going to be out in New Mexico, you're going to still run that 20 miles. To me, it's not realistic, because what takes me like an hour to do here could take me an hour and a half to 2 hours out in the high altitude. So unless you have that kind of time, that kind of stamina, you're well hydrated, you're rested, then go ahead and take the chance. But to be completely honest with you, don't be disappointed in yourself if you find you're having to take more breaks, or you feel like your legs are getting heavy, or maybe you're just completely fatigued and you have to sleep the rest of the day. When you do overdo it out in the high altitude, you really feel that you overdid it. It's not that, oh, I'm just going to go take a 10-minute nap here in Florida. You feel it. Your body feels it, and it can't repair itself the same way it normally would. So honestly here, just slow it down. Even if it's for the first couple days, slow it down and see where your body is at. And be kind to your body. Be understanding that it's doing the best it can in the new environment that you put it in. Because there's only so much we can do. Like I said, I can't acclimate you right away, even with this podcast. But I can help you kind of be mindful and think of the 3 things that are really, really going to help you get, not help you once you get to the high altitude, so you don't get high altitude sickness, so you can do what you love, and so you don't have to run around in circles and be tired and have a headache and confused about why you're even over there in Colorado or New Mexico or wherever the heck you are in the high altitude. The mountains are beautiful, and I want you guys to enjoy them, because I believe everybody should be able to see snow, go hiking, and see mountains once in their life. Because you can see, I truly, mountains are always in my heart, even if I live here in Florida. So I'm dedicated and willing to help you guys get out there to run, to work out, to bike, to swim, wherever the heck you want to go, no matter what the altitude, because I believe traveling is a beautiful, beautiful gift. So if you guys take away absolutely anything from today's podcast, it really is my top 3 tips. Ooh, I just hit my elbow. It's my top 3 tips. Do the deep breathing exercises right before you go out to wherever you're going. Drink and eat well, mindful. If anything, just drink a lot of water, stay hydrated, even add electrolytes to your drinks. And of course, the one that everybody doesn't want to hear is just slow it down if you have to, you guys. You're going to be okay. You're going to be superstars no matter where you go, no matter what you do. So slow it down. Find your peace over in the high altitude. And I promise, once you get this routine down and you find what works for you to change altitudes all the time, you are going to be able to travel and go anywhere. Work out anywhere and probably see more beautiful things and be in more beautiful places than you could have ever imagined. And that right there is what I believe running your life is. All right, guys. So if you enjoyed today's podcast, please head over to wherever you are listening into it, whether it's on Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, my Facebook channel. I don't care where it is. Please hit that subscribe button and leave a review. Let me know how this is impacting your life and in what way. And I hope it's a positive way. But, you know, if it's negative, you can let me know that too. But just, you know, give me 5 stars. Yeah, I like the 5 stars. So, you guys, please leave a review and head over to the rest of all of my, I guess, social handles and give that a like as well. Of course, you can see I stuttered there because I was trying to hit the darn buttons on this thing. But yeah, so head over to my social handles as well, at The Runpreneur on absolutely everything, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, whatever you have, I'm on there at The Runpreneur Podcast. And tune back in because I'm going to have so many podcasts coming out and so much content for you guys. I'm super excited for the new year. But right now, get out there, book your next trip to the mountains, and I will see you next time. So you guys, run your lives.